Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Adecoagro's 2011 second quarter results conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Mariano Bosch, CEO, Mr. Charlie Borrero Hughes, CFO, and Mr. Hernan Walker, Investor Relations Manager. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer section. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Adecoagro's management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand the general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Adecoagro and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Mariano Bosch, CEO. Mr. Bosch, you may begin your conference.
Thank you for the introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to welcome to Adecoagro's second quarter earning results conference for the year 2011. We had very strong results during the second quarter as a consequence of the steady growth of all our lines of businesses. Our investments in sugar and ethanol are starting to pay off. Angelica Mill performance is outstanding and is delivering expected results. All of this has confirmed the decision made some years ago when, after scouting all the regions of Brazil, we choose Mato Grosso do Sul to be the home of our sugar and ethanol cluster. The region offers optimal natural conditions for an efficient and low-cost sugarcane production. That, together with the appropriate implementation of our production model, allows us to produce sugar, ethanol, and energy in an environmentally sustainable way. This success of our first mill has increased the support of the local community and the relevant authorities to continue our growth strategy, which is evidenced by the increase of job solicitudes received, landowners' predisposition to lease their properties to us for sugarcane production, and last but not least, the words of the governor of Mato Grosso do Sul during the ceremony of the placing of the foundation stone of the Ivinhema mill site. In this regard, and after obtaining the necessary permits, we have started the construction and development of the Ivinhema mill, in line with our plans to complete a cluster of 10 million tons of sugarcane crushing capacity in the region. Regarding our farming business, we are completing the 2010-11 harvest year and are now entering into the 2011-12 agriculture season. The behavior of our crops has been by the book. On a dry season, as the one experienced in the whole production region of Argentina during 2010-11 campaign, soybean and corn yields have been mostly affected. But on the other hand, rice, sunflower, and wheat have improved their performance. All this proving the benefits of having a diversified portfolio of products. On the land transformation activities, we continue to develop at a firm rhythm. Over 8,000 hectares have been successfully put into production in San Joaquin Farm. We are in the middle of the transformation process of Dinaluca Farm, acquired in 2010, and we are at the final stages of the transformation of Elombu, La Guarida, and Santa Lucia Farm. While we develop our farms to their maximum production capabilities, we renew our commitment to produce under a sustainable production model. Now, I will pass the word to Charlie Boero, our CFO, who will explain in detail the performance of the company during the second quarter. Charlie?
Thank you, Mariano. Good afternoon, everyone. I will now walk you through the main operational and financial highlights of the quarter. Starting on page 2 of the presentation, I would like to present an update of the harvest of our 2010-11 crops, rice, and coffee production. During the second quarter, we completed the harvest of our soybean first crop and were well advanced in the process of concluding the harvest of the soybean second crop, which was 97% harvested at the time. Final yields for both soybean crops stood 17% and 16% respectively, below the previous harvest year. As informed during our first quarter earnings release, this yield reduction is a result of lack of rains coupled with high temperatures between February the 20th and March the 20th, which negatively affected the development of both crops in different ways. In the case of soybean full crop, it affected the grain feeding process, and in the case of soybean second crop, it impacted plant flowering. In conclusion, total soybean production for the 2010-11 harvest will reach approximately 200,000 tons. In the lower sentence box, you will find the progress of our corn harvest. As of June the 30th, 2011, we completed the harvest of 20,000 hectares, or 72% of total planted area. Current harvested yields stand at 5.5 tons per hectare, or 9.6% below the previous harvest year. We expect the remaining area to be harvested to deliver similar yields. The lower yield achieved is the result of lack of rains during November 2010 through January 2011, which is the critical growth stage for this crop. Regarding corn second crop, the harvest as of the end of the second quarter was still in its initial stages. Harvest will be completed during July. As in the case with soybean second crop, we expect yields to be lower than previous year. Moving on the next page, on the top left chart, you may see that during the second quarter, we completed the harvest of the 27.5 thousand hectares of rice. Final yields reached 6.2 tons per hectare, which is 23.5% higher than the yields obtained in the previous harvest year. This yield improvement is primarily due to an unusual lack of sunlight experienced during the 2009-10 harvest year, which prevented the crop from attaining normal yields. Nevertheless, considering that a significant portion of our rice planted area had been transformed and put into production during the last 2 years, the yields achieved during this harvest season give support to our land transformation model, the quality of our assets, and the profitability of the development projects we are executing in the rice business in the northern Argentina. Overall, rice production reached a record volume of 172,000 tons. On the upper right chart, you may see that as of June the 30th, 21% of our cotton was harvested, with yields significantly above the 2009-10 harvest. The crop is developing as expected, and we expect finding yields to be in line with current yields. The coffee harvest is advancing as planned. Harvest is expected to continue until the end of the third quarter. Yields for the harvested area stand at 2 tons per hectare, 11% higher than the previous year. This yield growth reflects the fine-tuning and improvement of our production technology as we adapt to Western Bahia, which is a new coffee-producing region with great potential due to its natural conditions. Finally, our milk production during the period has increased by 19.3% from 9.5 million liters in the second quarter of 2010 to 11.4 million in the second quarter of 2011. Cow productivity has also increased 8.8% from 26.3 to 28.6 liters per cow per day. This is a result of having a higher percentage of milking cows in the state-of-the-art freestall dairy rather than in the traditional grazing dairy. We expect cow productivity to continue increasing as cows continue to adapt to the freestall dairy. Turning to page 4, we can see the evolution of Adecoagro's planted area and production. As of June 30, 2011, our production of crops and rice, with almost 8% of total planted area still pending to be harvested, reaches 604,000 tons. As the remaining 15,000 hectares of corn, cotton and coffee are harvested, we expect to exceed the 619,000 tons produced during the 2009-10 harvest year. During the second quarter, we have also started our planting activities for the 2011-12 harvest year. As you can see in page 5, we have already successfully planted 38,600 hectares of wheat and expect to plant an additional 5,500 hectares. Total wheat planted area is estimated at 44,100 hectares, representing a 57% increase compared to the 2010-11 harvest year. This crop will be harvested between December 2011 and January 2012. We expect to plant soybean second crop over this area subsequently after the wheat harvest. Let's move to page 6, which shows the operational performance of our sugar, ethanol and energy business. Overall, 1.7 million tons of sugarcane were milled during the second quarter of 2011, 41% higher than in the second quarter of 2010. This expansion in cane crushing was driven by the ramp-up of the Angelica mill. Angelica's second boiler was installed during May 2010, and the sugar factory was completed during August 2010, giving end to the construction process. As a result of the fine-tuning of equipment, processes and natural learning curve, Angelica milled an average of 726 tons per hour last year. Angelica has begun its operations this year milling at full capacity of 900 tons per hour. The table also shows that Usina Montalegre milled 93,000 tons of sugar less in the second quarter of 2011 than in the second quarter of 2010. As we can see with most of the Brazilian Central South mills, this is a result of the decision to start the harvest season 2 weeks later than normal as a result of the low sugar content in cane. Driven by the increase in Angelica's milling, the production of sugar, ethanol and energy increased considerably by 67%, 19% and 153% respectively. The increase in exported energy is also a proof of the optimization of the Angelica mill. Exported energy per ton of sugarcane milled increased by 75% from 31 kilowatts per hour per ton to 54 kilowatts hour per ton. Cogeneration will provide our sugar and ethanol business stable cash flows with almost no marginal investment needed to obtain them. On page 7 we can see the volumes, prices and dollar amounts for sugar, ethanol and electricity sales executed during the second quarter. The upper left chart shows that we sold 63,000 tons of sugar in the second quarter of 2011, significantly higher than in the second quarter of 2010, driven by the increase in milling in Angelica and the operation of the sugar factory, as seen in the previous slide. Sugar was sold at an average price of $595 per ton, 15% higher quarter over quarter. In the top right chart, we see ethanol sales in cubic meters in the second quarter of 2011 were slightly below the second quarter of 2010. This is also a result of the start of operations of Angelica sugar factory since the beginning of the harvest season. During the second quarter of 2010, almost all of Angelica's TRS, or total recoverable sugars, have been destinated to ethanol production. A relevant factor in the second quarter of 2011 is that over 50% of total ethanol sales volumes was anhydrous ethanol produced at our dehydration plant in Angelica. anhydrous ethanol prices reached highly attractive prices during the beginning of the second quarter, driven by the lack of supply in the market. As a result, average sales prices for ethanol more than doubled quarter over quarter, from $482 per cubic meter to $1,077 in 2011. Regarding electricity, during the second quarter of 2011, we sold 146,000 megawatt hours to the local power grid, representing a 252% increase quarter over quarter. Electricity prices per megawatt hour were marked up 25% as a result of the inflation adjustment of our long-term contracted prices and the appreciation of the Brazilian reais, since energy prices are denominated in local currency. In conclusion, the lower right chart shows that the expansion in milling and production, coupled with a positive price environment, boosted sales of our sugar, ethanol and energy business by 182%, reaching a total of $100 million. Passing on to our financial performance on slide 11, we can see that gross sales for our farming business have increased 13% from the second quarter of 2010 to the second quarter of 2011, driven mainly by the increase in planted area, better yields for wheat, rice and sunflower, and more favorable prices across all commodities, mainly wheat 90%, sunflower 17%, coffee 124%, and soybean 11%. As already explained in the previous slide, sales of the sugar, ethanol and energy segment increased significantly, driven both by volume and price. Overall, Adecoagro's gross sales during the second quarter increased 72% from roughly $103 million to $177 million. Accumulated gross sales as of June the 30th stand at $235 million, 51% higher than the previous year. Finally, let's move to page 9 to analyze Adecoagro's financial performance for the period. As a result of the solid operational performance driven by the ramp-up of the Angelica mill explained earlier and a positive price environment, adjusted EBITDA for the sugar, ethanol and energy business grew by almost 6 times, from $7.2 million to $49.4 million. Despite low sugarcane yields and sugar content levels in cane across all of Brazil, adjusted EBITDA margins for the second quarter reached 49.4%, while 6 months accumulated adjusted EBITDA margins reached 40.4%. Going forward, we would expect slightly lower EBITDA margins as a result of the negative impact generated by the frost that inflicted sugarcane plantations throughout the main production regions in early July. Adjusted EBITDA for the farming business also experienced considerable improvement, driven by the increase in production led by an expansion in planted area and higher rice, cotton and coffee yields. The increase in prices across all commodities more than compensated the reduction in soybean and corn yields as a result of lack of water during the season. Adjusted EBITDA in the second quarter of 2011 stands at $23 million, 155% higher quarter over quarter, with an adjusted EBITDA margin of 30%, 17 percentage points higher than the second quarter of 2010. As a result of the above, Adecoagro recorded a consolidated adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter of 2011 of $65.5 million, 56.7 million higher than the second quarter of 2010. Adjusted EBITDA margin grew significantly to 37.1%. Accumulated adjusted EBITDA for the 6 month period as of June the 30th of 2011 stands at $75 million, 400% higher year over year. To finalize, I would like to turn to slide 10, which shows the breakdown of our net debt. Total debt is currently $433 million, $30.7 million or 7.2% higher than the end of previous quarter. The main driver for this increase is a 32.2% increase in short-term debt corresponding to sugar, ethanol, and energy segment, working capital related to the initiation of the harvest year. Towards the end of the second quarter of 2011, we invested $258.7 million of our IPO proceeds in short-term financial investments, including fixed-term deposits and unlevered currency derivatives. Therefore, total cash and cash equivalents grew 3.7% to $467 million. As a result, net debt as of June the 30th of 2011 stands at negative $37 million. Thank you very much for your time. We are now open to questions.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone at this or any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star then two. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. The first question is from Giovanni Araujo, Itaú BBA. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My first question is on the sugar and ethanol business. The Angelica Mill performance is indeed outstanding, but UMA it seems to be lagging behind. I would like to better understand the main difference behind that, especially if you think this gap is sustainable until the end of the crop, or we might see some convergence going forward. So that will be my first question. The second is about your soybean hedging. You reported a hedging of roughly 33,000 tons, around $13.6 per bushel. I would like to know if this hedging program is advanced versus last year or not, and what's your view and strategy behind that. And finally, if you can comment about your expectations about the energy prices in the coming auctions, I would like to know what will be the prohibited prices that will prevent you from participating in the auctions. Thank you.
Hi, Giovanni. Good morning. This is Mariano. In order to address your first question about UMA, I will pass the word to Marcelo Vieira, who is responsible of our sugar and ethanol operations. Marcelo, would you like to answer the questions on regards to UMA?
Regarding UMA, the milling is somewhat behind last year, because last year we had cane left from 2009, and we started earlier to be able to handle that. This year we started at the normal season, and we started crushing slower than usual because maturation was not well advanced. More recently we have sped up milling, and maturation is going far very well. We had no impact from the frost at UMA, so things are much better now, and I believe we will finish the season milling all the cane as scheduled and with good results.
Thank you, Marcelo. Very clear. Giovanna, anything? Is that clear?
No, that's fine. Okay.
Regarding the soybean hedging, I'm going to pass the word to Marcelo Sanchez, who is our commercial director. So Marcelo, can you answer that part of the question?
Yeah, comparing the current hedge of our soybean crop, we are in the same line that compared with last year, and in terms of the amount of the volume already hedged, and we're estimating prices remaining around same levels that we are today, and that would be my answer for the second question. And regarding the exposure, regarding our participation in the next Leilao of energy, we have a current ceiling of 146 reais per megawatt, and we are expecting this price to obtain roughly around that.
For you to participate in the auctions or not?
Definitely it is, yes.
Okay.
The next question is from Alessandro Baldoni, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi. Actually, two questions. First one is, assuming the updated scenario for yields and prices, what level of EBITDA do you expect to reach in the full year 2011? And the second question is, what was the impact on the liquidity of the land market in Argentina following the bill proposed by the government? I know it's your proposition, but did you feel investors backing up on the on any acquisition waiting for further definition?
Hi, Baldoni, it's Mariano. On the first question, as you know, we don't give guidance, so we cannot give you an estimate on that answer. And on the second question, as we expressed last time, we are not seeing any changes on the land liquidity in Argentina. There are not many foreign buyers of Argentinian land, and that has happened in the last 2 or 3 years, so we are not seeing a real change because of this law being discussed in the Congress.
Thank you.
Again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one. The next question is from Pedro Richards, Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mariano, Charlie, Hernan, and thanks for the call. My first question is regarding slide number 5. You show expected planted area for wheat 2011-2012. I wanted to know if you could give some more guidance on total crops area for the 11-12 season compared to the one that has just concluded, and which crops may gain or lose share in total planted area next year. And then regarding the bill of law that is in the Argentine Congress, what is your belief in which changes in the current proposal bill do you believe might happen, and what is your expectation on the timing of the approval of the law, and if that has any impact on your pipeline of acquisition or investment or in the farming segment?
Okay, perfect. On the first question, we don't give guidance on the projections. We are assuming we are going to continue growing with all the crops more or less in line with what you've seen in the past. Regarding particularly the higher increase in wheat, that's mainly because of the good conditions in the northern farms. That's a variable part, and it's mainly because of the sustainability of the whole operation, including more wheat in the north, and because of optimum conditions and good rains during this time of the year, we are increasing that more than normal. That's
okay.
The first part of the question. Then on the second part, that I think is important, as we expressed in the last call that we had in the previous quarter, we do expect some type of law being passed on regards of regulating the land ownership by foreigners. We are having a lot of meetings with government officials and congressmen on this regard. And what we are experiencing is that either through a slight modification to the president project or through the implementation of this law, they will allow companies like us on the developing projects. So we think that the projects like what we are doing on buying land and put it into its highest production capabilities will continue to be allowed. Maybe we'll need to go through some type of regulation. We still don't know how that is going to happen, but we clearly see that concept being agreed within congressmen and government officials. On regards of the timing and when this law is going to be passed, it's very unclear for us, but can happen at any moment. It's in the middle of the process on the Congress, but we are following that closely with the congressman.
Okay, thanks. I actually have one more question regarding the sugar and ethanol segment, maybe addressed to Marcelo Vieira, regarding the comment that appears in the press release on the impact of the frost in Brazil in your sugarcane plantation. I wanted to understand if the 3% lower sugarcane volume and 6% lower sugar content is from your original expectations, and if that is the case, how do you believe sugarcane volume and sugar content in the third quarter may come compared to second quarter?
Marcelo, Marcelo Vieira, can you answer this question? I think we lost Marcelo Vieira on the call. There was a communication problem, but
yes,
I will take the answer.
He has disconnected and we're trying to reestablish the connection.
Okay, so I will take the answer of the question. On the normal cycle, the higher volume and sugarcane content occurs on this third quarter, so that would be in average expected.
Right.
That expectation is the one that is going to be affected by the numbers that we stated there in our earnings release.
Okay, thanks.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one. Once again, it's star, then one to ask a question.
One more comment on your second question, Pedro. On regards of the foreign ownership regulations, it's clear on the project of the President Cristina that it's not going to be affecting existing land ownership. So that's absolutely clear, and I wanted to make clear to the audience.
We have a follow-up question from Alessandro Baldani, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mariano. Just a quick question on ethanol. Prices are really good this harvest. I wanted to understand a little bit better your strategy. Are you already selling to take advantage of these prices, or are you by any chance building inventories trying to get maybe even better prices during the inter-harvest?
Alessandro, we are not giving guidance, but as you can see on the report, we are having more stocks than what we used to have. So we still think that the prices are going to be strong in the near future.
Okay, great, thanks.
We have a follow-up question, Pedro Richards from Raymond James. Please go ahead.
What is your view on relative farmland values in the region? I mean, where do you think it's more attractive comparing Argentina, Bolivia, Peru, Colombia, Brazil, Uruguay? Where do you think there are opportunities to go ahead?
The way on how we analyze this is through the return on investment, the cash on cash return that we can obtain on each one of the different countries. We also need to include here what's the potential land transformation of what we are acquiring. So at the end, we get the final IRR of what we are, of the type of land that we are acquiring. And at this moment, we are having interesting potential opportunities in the Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, and Brazil. There are some good opportunities in the four countries, but very specific opportunities. The more clear, the better returns are in Argentina, then in Paraguay, then in Uruguay, and then in Brazil. That's the order on how the returns are being. And of course, we are asking for more returns in Argentina than the other countries, but there is a cap for that maximum return, and if the returns are much better in Argentina, we can continue buying land in Argentina.
Okay, very clear, thanks.
We have a follow-up question. Giovanna Arahara, Atul BBA, please go ahead.
Mariano, could you please comment how the discussions about the easing restrictions to foreigners in Brazil are evolving now in terms of regulation?
Yes, we are having many meetings with the rest of the industry, and we are not seeing much progress. There is nothing to comment about to what we already discussed last quarter.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Rodrigo Magaburu, Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Mariano and Charlie. Congratulations on the numbers. I just wanted you briefly mention it, but if you can give a little more detail on how's been the weather for the winter crop so far, for basically since you're having like a big number of hectares.
Hi, Rodrigo. As you know, the weather for the winter has been optimal till now, but that's not that relevant for the yield of wheat. The yield of wheat is defined between September, October, and November, so that climate is the one affecting the real wheat, the real yield of the wheat. For planting has been optimum, crops are very nice, but still nothing relevant to say on regarding yield.
Thank you.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Again, it is star, then one to ask a question. Having no further questions, this concludes the question and answer section. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Mariano Bosch for any closing remarks.
Se você ligou, está fora de área ou desligado.
Hello? Okay? Am I connected?
Yes, you are, sir. Please go ahead with any closing remarks.
Okay, thank you. So before we conclude the call, I would like to make the following closing remarks. We have a very clear goal of completing our sugar ethanol cluster of 10 million tons of sugarcane crushing capacity in Mato Grosso do Sul and become one of the most efficient producers of sugar, ethanol, and electricity in Brazil. We are confident that Ivinhema will be up and running on schedule and already have all the teams working full speed on the project. With regard to the farming, we have started the 2011-2012 agriculture season with our winter crops, increasing the area planted of wheat when compared with previous season. We are very optimistic with the prospects as a result of the prices of the commodities we produce, the current climatic conditions and humidity levels for planting, and a highly motivated operating team.
Finally,
I would like to note that we will continue with our growth strategy in rice and dairy projects, and with regards to land acquisitions, we have in our radar interesting opportunities to deploy our capital and obtain the attractive returns we've been looking for. So thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day.